Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us back again. We're traveling, so we have a different microphone today. It might sound a little different, but again, it's just wonderful to have you with us. And you guys can go to andweknow.com/gold below this video at any time. Click on that link and you'll be able to reach out to Dr. Elliott and his team. And you'll be able to ask the same questions, have the talk about precious metals and so much more with them. They're going to take care of you. It's been a very interesting week. One of the big ones for us, of course, has been the Olympics. The opening ceremony was probably one of the most demonic ceremonies I've ever seen in my life. My take on it has always been the same, that when the enemy gets put in a corner and they start getting destroyed, they start exposing themselves even more, and they want to instill fear in us, and it doesn't work as much as it used to. And of course, not only that, it's been sick watching males beat up females in boxing rings. And swimmers are jumping in a Seine River there in Paris, and they're throwing up because it's the most sickening water probably on this entire earth. And we have never seen anything like this before. What do you think about all that?
I mean, it's just physical evidence of a spiritual battle, LT. I mean, when you see all this moral decay and decadence, and, you know, I was thinking about the male, the boxer that, you know, kind of beat the tar out of the girl. It's like, so the feminists really want women's rights, right? And then they allow a male to beat up a female. It's like, I don't get it, right? I don't get it. And here's the thing, when it's something is not what God has planned for all of us, it's either God's way or it's anything else, right? The anything else can be this whole universe of options, right? But, right. But God's way is simple. It's just one thing. And so all of this stuff is of course going to roll back on them, because it's not God's truth. It's not his love. It's not his law. It's not all of those amazing things that he has in store for all of us. And so of course there's going to be pullback, and there's going to be mayhem, and there's going to be corruption and everything that we see. I mean, it's just a society in decay. But now the social decay that we're seeing, here's the thing, I was thinking about this over the last day, is, you know how in the Old Testament, LT, when you're reading it, you've got all Israel continued to do bad things. Well, do you have a bad king because you have a morally decadent people, or do you have a morally decadent people because you have a bad king? It's like, I don't know, really. It's like, but we have both, right? Yep. We have both right now. And so we keep voting in bad people, and you look at what's happening, like with Kamala, and even lying or using her ethnicity as convenience, right? It's like, okay, I'm gonna be what I'm gonna be when I want to be it, right? So there's no truth. There's no truth in man's and women's world, but there's always truth in God's world. That's and right. When you deviate from that, you're going to get a broken message.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And speaking of broken messages, we're watching a lot of stuff fall into place. You sent me a few things to show today. One of those is this, I believe, bank markets around the earth. And this one might be from Japan. Am I hitting that right?
Yeah, this was Japan from last night, last night. So everyone's focused on the Olympics, right? Everyone's focused on the election and who's going to be Kamala's vice president. And what about this war in the Middle East and how now you've got Israel against pretty much, we don't know, right? It's like, okay, are they fighting Hezbollah or Hamas or the Houthis or Jordan or Syria or Lebanon or Iran? You know, right. It all basically kind of boils down to Iran. But the answer to all of that is yes, right? Right. Yes, they're fighting all of these people. And so everyone's focused on all of this stuff, right? And now the Department of State in America putting travel restrictions or no travel at all, or you better rethink your travel for pretty much most of the areas in the Middle East. And everyone's focused on this. But while all that's going on, banks are failing. The markets are starting to fail. So over the last few days, the stock market went down 500 points and then 600 points the next day. And you've got central banks around the world now starting to say we're lowering interest rates, right? So here's the problem with that. You've got these banks that are listening to all of these statements. Like, look at that list that you had on the screen from Japan.
Right.
These are one-day events, not a month, not a year, down 11.19% in a day, down 10.79% in a day, down 12.14% in a day. These are in a day. I mean, that's an absolute collapse. Because you could say if a stock went down 12% in a year, you'd be kind of ticked, right?
Right, right.
But this is in a day. And then look at the U.S. banks on the next screen. Wells Fargo down almost 7% in a day. Citigroup down almost 7% in a day. I mean, these are big, huge moves. So the banking sector is failing big. And we have to ask ourselves why. So banks will fail when they have more withdrawals than they have deposits. And they will also fail when the investments that they have are faltering, right? Because they take our money and then it becomes theirs and they invest in commercial real estate, residential real estate, stocks, whatever. They lend it out to other people for equity lines of credit and whatever else, right? So they use our money to purchase other things. Well, now, when we have a bad economy under Bidenomics, when we have lowering wages, when we have increasing jobless numbers, when you have inflationary pressures that are persisting,
right?
This is the problem. So there, this is where it comes down to what a couple of the banks did over the last 4 days is Bank of England. These are all lies, right? This is the narrative that we're hearing. Bank of England said, ooh, you know, we think that there's a recession coming. We've got to lower interest rates. So they lowered their rate by a quarter of a point. The Czech Republic lowered their interest rate because they think a recession is coming. Well, you and I have talked about this over the last year. It's like a recession isn't coming. A recession is here, right? A recession is only, in its definition, two consecutive quarters of declining output and production, right? So we've had that since March of 2020, since the height of COVID, and we haven't recovered. So no, we're not going into a recession. We're in one, right? But now finally mainstream media is falling in lines with the reality of the world. And they're saying, well, there's these different, algorithms that we're looking at. It thinks we're going into a recession. It's like, okay, at least we're finally on the same page, right? But what's happening now is perception is reality. The banks are finally thinking, okay, mainstream media, the world, the everybody's now saying we're in recession and we're hurting. Now that message is getting out. And so what the other message that's getting out is, we've got rising delinquencies. We've got rising defaults, which means people having to file for bankruptcy. We've got lowering wages. The job growth numbers that just came out on Friday of this last week were basically way worse than expected. Oh. It's like, well, who are they asking? I mean, not even Biden's lies could cover up for this one, right? It's like, so here's the thing. It was way worse than expected. This caused all these banks in Japan, in Europe, in the United States to really start to falter, LT, because now they realize, wow, these loans that we have out, they're either going to have late payments or we're not going to get any payments at all. We are losing money. Our commercial real estate is tanking, right? So it's not just banks starting to reel from that, and it's not just now mainstream, America kind of realizing, oh, banks have an issue. Who else is? Warren Buffett is, right? So Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, so supposed to be one of the smartest investors of all time.
Right.
So let's look at two things that he did in the last week.
Okay.
The one that you have on the screen with Apple, he did within the last 24 hours. He dumped literally $83 billion worth of Apple shares. It's insane.
Oh, wow.
And then in the last 12 days, the 12 days prior to this show being aired, He dumped $3.8 billion worth of Bank of America. So what does that tell us? So Bank of America was the second largest holding, and Warren Buffett has been on record, I mean, basically saying, I love Apple. I love Bank of America. These are my favorite stocks, which is why they were like number one and number two in Berkshire Hathaway Holdings. Well, he's dumping $3.8 billion of Bank of America, and he dumped $83 billion worth of Apple shares. So what does that tell us? One of the smartest investors, mega billionaire, thinks the banking sector is about to fail, which means the economy is about to fail. And what is he saying about tech stocks? He's thinking tech stocks are about to fail. And the market as a whole, because if he really thought that the economy was going to boom, that Apple was going to do well, that the Bank of America was going to do well, he wouldn't sell them. Right. He would hold on to them. So what he's saying by his actions, we don't even need words, is that he doesn't believe that the economy moving forward is going to be good. In fact, he's locking in profits now to get out of Dodge right now. And it's not small. This is large. So at this point, after he got rid of his Bank of America and his Apple, Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett are sitting on $277 billion worth of cash. Billion. So what is he going to do with that cash? No. So number one, I would say that's a foolish thing to do. Right. It's not foolish to get out of things that are coming down. There's wisdom in that.
Right.
Foolish to have that much money in the banking system when banks are starting to fail, right? Because on Thursday of last week, this is kind of a little bit of a step back in history, but we talked, I think it was in April, LT, that First Republic Bank in Pennsylvania went into FDIC receivership. It was the first bank of 2024 to basically fail and go into FDIC receivership. Well, Fulton Bank bought them, right? They basically acquired them and say, all right, we're gonna make sure that, you know, your depositors kind of are taken care of because you as a bank stink, right? So what happens to Fulton? And here's a biblical concept that you and I have talked about. You can equate it to sin. You can equate it to whatever you want. But when you have like a fresh glass of water, fresh water, just refreshing, cold, amazing, and you drop a couple drops of poison in it, you taint the whole glass. You can't even drink it.
Right.
So when a bank buys up another bank with toxic assets, it affects their balance sheets. Right. So now, Fulton Bank, their balance sheet is toxic because they bought this other bank with all kinds of toxic assets, and Republic First Bank in the Northeast in Pennsylvania area that basically was going belly up. So now what happened on Thursday of this week? Fulton Bank decided, our balance sheet's not looking good. We're losing money hand over fist. We're going to close 18 branches. It's like, no shocker to me, no shocker to you, because when you acquire toxic assets, it makes your asset base toxic as well. Hmm. So we have to look back and say, well, what happened to Signature Bank? Well, when Signature Bank, back when Silicon Valley Bank and Credit Suisse and First Republic and all those banks went under in March of 2023, it was New York Community Bank bought Signature Bank. Well, sure enough, like 4 months ago, New York Community Bank was hitting the skids on verge of FDIC receivership. You can't buy toxic assets without it affecting the entire balance sheet of your company. So we take it one, and what's true for an individual is true for a company. What's true for a company is true for a nation, right? It's just the same principle. So what happened in June was China decided we're getting out of Dodge with U.S. treasuries. And they dumped $75 billion worth of U.S. treasuries in June alone. So to put that into perspective, and you and I have talked about this, that's almost 10% of their entire holdings of U.S. treasuries, because they have about $800 and something billion left. Well, they just got rid of $75 billion.
Right.
So why? Either they need money or they want to get rid of an asset before it comes down in value. So either one of those could be true, but like the banks and like Warren Buffett, I think they think that it's going to come down in value. So they're dumping it. So this is adding a lot of selling pressure to the markets. It's adding a lot of mayhem to the U.S. Treasury market, which if nobody wants our U.S. Treasuries, well, then who's buying them?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that's the question. And the question is nobody. No, like Japan's not buying them. Russia's right. not buying them. China's unloading them. The rest of the world doesn't want U.S. Treasuries. Well, it's like, Kirk and LT, who's buying them? Easy answer. The Fed. So the Federal Reserve is always the buyer of last resort, right? Because they don't have money that's growing on trees, but they do have a printing press, right? So they're printing money like there's no tomorrow. They're buying these U.S. treasuries that come on the market because China's dumping them. So now they can say with a straight face, oh, this treasury auction, there's a lot of demand for U.S. treasuries. It's like, no, there's not. Mm-hmm. You're buying it with money that you print out of thin air. And what does that cause? Inflation, right? When you print money, it creates inflation. It devalues that currency. So here's where England, Czech Republic, and Jerome Powell at the U.S. Fed is basically saying, you know what, we're going to actually lower rates in September. You know, we're ready to do that because we're winning the battle of inflation. Not the true story. They're not winning the battle against inflation, but they do need to lower rates in their mind because people are tapped out. They're not spending any money. They're losing sales tax revenue, income tax revenue. The country is on the verge of not a recession, but absolute inflationary depression, LT. So this is their pickle. It's like, do we not lower interest rates and let the inflationary pressures persist? Or do we lower or do we raise rates to slow down inflation? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, they decided that they're going to do one rate reduction probably in September, like we talked about. I mean, this is nothing new. We thought, okay, they're going to do one rate reduction between now and the election. This might be it. But what we're not going to see is month after month after month after month of rate reductions because they haven't beat the war against inflation. And if they start lowering interest rates, inflation skyrockets and goes through the roof. So this is the problem, right, that we're seeing. And here's where everything culminates into how we started the show. It's like you said, well, what are you seeing going on? Well, we've got the Olympics and the moral decadence and the decay and you've got banks failing, and you've got wars in the Middle East, and everyone's saying, is this this Armageddon? Is this the end of this era? What is this, right? Mm-hmm. And so fear. Just like you talked about, whenever they can usher in more fear, they can bring a solution. It's this Hegelian dialectic kind of a thing. It's like, yeah, we've got something that's so bad that nobody would ever want it as a solution. But you know what? If we create a problem that's so bad that now people will want our solution where they didn't want it before, that's where we're headed. We're headed into this evil world. It's not just economics. It's not just everything that we're seeing. Like I saw the hearings with Senator Cruz and with the new the director of the Secret Service and everything, whatever that guy's name was, Roe. Well, he was lying. Right, he said he didn't give a directive to stand down, and yet it comes out that he did. So even the former president of the United States and all of this stuff, an assassination attempt, he can't even trust that the people that he has on his team to protect him are actually protecting him. I mean, we've entered into this world of, and that should be one of the most outside of God protecting us, you know, if you're the president, you should know that your Secret Service is going to protect you, right?
Right.
So he can't even think that because we're in such a state of moral decay, right? It's like, where are we? Where are we headed?
Yeah.
And this is where God is screaming out or whispering into our ears, Kirk, LT, everybody watching, and we know, you know, open up the eyes of your heart. Open up your spiritual ears to hear what God is saying through his word right? That he is here to protect us. If you lack wisdom, ask him for it. That's what James says.
Right.
We've got all these voices out there. We don't know who to believe. We don't know what to believe. We don't know who's telling the truth. We don't know who's telling lies. Although, in tongue in cheek, I could say if a politician's talking, they're probably telling lies, right? But here's where it's so confusing that God just wants us to trust in him in these times that we're living in. And this is where I get so excited in the world of mayhem where the foundations around us are eroding. Because you look at things like that are so simple, gold and silver. They're just they're just tangible assets. But it's not tied to the banking world, everything that we're talking about. It's not tied to this derivatives mess and everything that we're talking about. It's something that's simple. It's something that's real. It's something that's tangible. And it's doing quite well. Now, over the last 5 days or so, silver and gold have both come down.
Right.
But the fundamentals of the market haven't changed. And if the fundamentals of the market haven't changed, we still have unsustainable debt, inflationary pressures, political chaos, geopolitical conflict, everything that causes them to go up. So why is silver coming down? Well, I think it's probably hedge funds doing more naked shorting positions so they don't have to pay out so much when their short positions come due, right? Or some kind of manipulation. So those are temporary things. Take advantage of the temporary price reduction when the fundamentals of the market haven't changed, because that is wisdom, and that will help you grow your portfolio and at least put a smile on your face financially.
That's right. Yeah. So if they step in now while the prices have dropped, then when they go back up again, it's going to help a lot of folks that finally put their investments in, especially with who we're talking to now, that they're probably hesitating or waiting. You know, these prices drops. That's something that my son teaches me all the time. Dad, you know, it's time to get into this. Look, the prices are dropped. And I said, yeah, thanks a lot, son. And it always works. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, you and I aren't here, and we've talked about this often with each other. It's like we never want to be merchants of fear, right? We never want to be a prophet of gloom and doom or whatever. But to really truly understand the solution and how you protect yourself, you have to understand the world that we're living in, right? Because that makes the solution way more important and way more relevant to you. So I don't give these news stories to be this, you know, proponent of fear. I tell you that because a lot of people don't know. Because if you listen to mainstream media, you're never going to get the truth. So all we're doing is telling the truth. It's not sensationalizing everything. It's like the world is in a bad place. Obviously, we see that there's assassination attempts. Banks are failing. The stock markets are failing. Warren Buffett's, you know, jumping ship. He's getting out of Dodge.
Yep.
So therefore, we just kind of do the same thing. And with peace, really have peace in the midst of the storm. That's what God brings. We can do the right thing at the right time and thrive.
Amen. Amen. Well put. Yeah, it's just an amazing update. I mean, you've hit it on all ends. When you talk about not just the United States, but Japan and other nations and watching them fall apart, just that ripple effect that happens around the world, it seems to make its way to us. And of course, you have the distraction of the Olympics hitting us to keep us off this type of information. So we're just grateful to have you here to keep us informed. And of course, that great reminder about silver and gold. What a great time to step in and give you a call. I mean, that's for certain. And so folks, that's a great reminder. AndWeKnow.com/gold, very simple website, right below your video or podcast. If you're listening in, click on that link, take your time, send in information, give them a call. And just say, look, I'd like to have a conversation like I hear on the podcast. And here you go. You'll be able to have this talk, walk you right through all of the questions that you might have. And it'll be an amazing journey for you. And you'll just feel like you have a relationship, not just like a business talk. That's the way I felt with my family when we were taken care of by you. So we really appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I look forward to being here again and speaking truth next time.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for now, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. See ya.